You know, once we think about it, sure, we have bad days, we have bad weeks, we have bad months, and sometimes it seems like a bad life, but still there are things for which to be thankful for. And I trust that we can be thankful together this morning. I'm thankful that you arrived here safely on a morning that is a bit challenging, but yet we have come together to worship. And so let me share with you, first of all, some verses again. I've written them all in your bulletin, so they're there. You can look them up later if you want to, or you can follow along now. But I've listed just a few more verses that have to do with being thankful, and I'm going to go over some of those, and then we're going to share together again with each other of things that we are thankful for. Beginning at Colossians 3:15, the Bible says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." And I mentioned, I was thinking about this peace, the peace of God in our hearts. And I mentioned this morning, I've sat with a lot of folks that have had some real heavy sentences, cancers. They're terminal, and their time is running out. And yet when the peace that passeth understanding settles in on their heart, it's an amazing thing. Spent some time yesterday with a whole bunch of pastors down in Alexandria, and one of our pastors was not with us because he's got cancer. He won't be with us anymore in our meetings. He had pancreas cancer. They were going to operate on that, experimental cancer. The cancer now moved to his liver. And so Ken, Pastor Ken in the Minneapolis Free Methodist Church, will not be at any more of our meetings. But yet one of the pastors that was there spent a couple of hours with Ken this last week. And he has the peace in his heart that passes understanding. The peace of Jesus. Remember what Isaiah said when he said, "The Prince of Peace." And sometimes, friends, I know life is tumultuous and hectic and helter-skelter. But sometimes we just got to sit back and say, "Thank you, Father, for the peace that rules in my heart. The peace that passeth understanding. The peace that I don't even understand." Jesus said it best when he said, "The peace that doesn't come from humanity, it comes from me." And sometimes we've just got to say, "Thank you, Father, for the peace in my heart. The peace that you are in control. The peace that surpasses understanding." 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." Have you ever thought about being thankful for the victory? No, I'm not talking about the Vikes. That would be a rare thing. I'm talking about the victory that you have on a daily basis, whether it's over temptation or through the last trial or through the last trip or through the last hurdle of life. Have you taken time to thank God because victory is in Jesus? And yet the Bible says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory." We need to be thankful for those victorious moments. Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart gladly rejoices, and with song I will praise and thank Him." That should be our attitude. Psalm 107 verses 1 and 8 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." We said that last week from a different verse. 107:8 says the same thing. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." We owe it to Him to be thankful to Him for His goodness. God is good. Amen? God is good. And I know there's times when you say, "Jim, I don't feel good." But God is good. And the psalmist says it over and over and over, "But give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." That's reason enough to give Him thanks, because He is good. Psalm 136:1 says the same thing. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." Psalm 43:5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him." Give Him thanks, even when I'm weary. Even when the words here are downcast, I will praise Him. And I wonder, friends, are we that kind of thankful? Have we got something to be thankful even when we're weary and downcast? I think we do. I hope that we are. That is the attitude that the psalmist tells us over and over and over and over. Thanks be to God just simply for His goodness. Yeah, I can hear the argument. Yeah, but Jim, I ain't seen any goodness lately. There's something for which to be thankful for. You know what? We were talking about daily provision last week, just a little bit in the second service, and the first service brought it up this morning. Did you know that 25,000 children die a day of starvation around the world? Did you know that millions don't have a fresh glass of water? Did you know in Haiti, you saw some of the pictures, we showed them up here a while back, millions do not have a home to live in anymore? Haiti and Pakistan, Central Africa, Indonesia, Vietnam, they live under the trees. When we start to think about the larger picture, there is something, friends, to be thankful for. We have three meals placed in front of us every day. And yet, millions are starving, and some starving to the point of death every day. We have roofs over our heads. In Pakistan, after these floods, and in Haiti, after the earthquakes, and other parts of the world, they have no roof over their head. We have doctors down the street. We have firefighters that come and police that help keep order. And in these places all around, there's no order because of these flooding and devastations and outbreaks of cholera and all manner of things. Friends, sometimes I know we are weary and heavy laden, but there's something to be thankful for. If nothing else, the psalmist reminds us, thank God for His goodness. Acts, the apostles were preaching the good news of Jesus. In Acts chapter 5, Peter and James and John, they were proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, didn't like it. And they gathered them up. And they were talking to them. In Acts 5:40 and 41 says, they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, some of your translation says flogged them, and if you know what flogging is, it's not a pretty picture. Then they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. So they, that's the disciples, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. Have you thought about that? Rejoicing. They'd just been beat. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. How many times have you suffered shame for the name of Jesus and rejoiced about it? Oh, we have much to be thankful for. Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking to us in verses 11 and 12, and He said, blessed are you, followers of Christ. Blessed are you when they, the world around you, reviles you, persecutes you, says all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Then he doesn't end there. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Have you been thankful for persecution? We don't suffer like other countries, but you might suffer some. You might suffer a little harassment. Especially if you're a teenager or a younger person or a person in college, you might suffer a little persecution in school today. Jesus said, you're blessed when you suffer for my sake. And He says, go away rejoicing and exceedingly glad. I wonder if we can thank God for being persecuted. Last week we looked at 1 Thessalonians 7, or 5, excuse me. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 19, that says, pray without ceasing. 18, in everything give thanks. You say, Jim, there's just sometimes I just can't do it. Just can't do it. And I was thinking, you know, I was thinking this week as I was thinking about the things to be thankful for. You remember the stories that revolved around when the towers fell down at 911? You remember some of those stories that surfaced afterwards where people were supposed to be at work and didn't get there? There was a whole lot of those kind of stories. People with brand new shoes and they were walking to work and they hurt their feet too bad. They had to stop for a few minutes and get a different pair of shoes or whatever. Didn't get to the towers on time to work. Towers fell down in the meantime. All kinds of those kind of stories. They weren't too happy about sore feet that morning until they realized the towers fell down and 3,000 people died. Or the same morning when people were trying to get their children ready for school and the children weren't cooperating or sick or whatever and they couldn't get there and they were angry. They weren't thankful about that until they realized the towers fell down and 3,000 people died. Or the traffic jams that they cussed and cursed and wondered why in the world am I stuck in this nastiness again. Made them a little late for work until they realized that the towers fell down. They weren't thankful at the moment. And so I think about these things. Maybe you were stopped in traffic, or maybe your neighbor cursed you, or maybe your shoes didn't fit so good either. Maybe there's a reason that God has for you to be thankful about something else. Maybe He sees a bigger picture. So let me give you guys and gals a chance again today while I take a little something for my throat. And let's just share with each other what we're thankful for a few minutes again today. The first service, we had some delightful things together again. Art, go ahead. We take a lot of things for granted. 1 billion people, as a sixth of the world's population, do not have access to water. We take so much for granted. 3 squares on our plates every day. And millions are dying of starvation. Millions haven't a clue where the next meal's coming from. We take too much for granted. We need to be thankful. Have you ever got up in the morning and said, "Thank you, Lord, my eyes still work. I can still hear. I can still taste. My legs still carry me out to the mailbox or wherever I'm going to work." People around the world, people in our own church, Maybe they've had lost a limb, or maybe they're in a wheelchair or something. Have you ever thought about being thankful that you can still walk around, still see? We should be. Who else? Go ahead. Amen. Amen. What a blessing that is. I am too. I thank God many, many times that God brought my wife and I together, and that she loves Him. Many times I thank the Lord for that. What else? I know we're few in number, but we got enough to thank. Go ahead, Charlie. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We take sight for granted till we don't have it, don't we? Amen. You know what? We could write volumes about the faithfulness of the Father. Amen. Jen, go ahead. Amen. Thank you. You know what? We have seen a few miracles around here. They talk about, I'm going to be right with you, brother. They talk about miracles in Pakistan and in places around the world, and they're true. And we've seen a few around here, too. The miracle of rebirth in this dear sister's life recently, and others. The miracles in their twins when they were born and had all kinds of problems, all kind of medical challenges. The miracles of a guy here that's been part of our church that had lung cancer. The doctors told him nothing to do about it until a few months later when he said, "Now you don't have it." Glory to God. The miracle of another man who sat here with us for years, who's now moved on to a different city, who was on dialysis 3 times a week. And you began to pray for him, and pretty quick the doctor said, "You don't need dialysis anymore." We've seen a few here too. We've seen miracles of daily protection and provision sometimes we don't even think about. But the miracles, and as we have been blessed, as Jen has said, then to be a blessing to somebody else. Praise be to God. Dick, go ahead. You know what? I was thinking about that too, and I had that written down in my thankful list. Our church supports a whole bunch of little kids. Their faces are back there, and some of you support little kids as individual families too. Without that $21 of support, they don't go to school. They don't go. Millions around the world do not have the wherewithal to go to school and learn. You're absolutely right. It is a blessing that we can just, there's a near school, drop our kids off, or we can go into further education or whatever we want to do. Millions can't do that. That is a blessing. I had a fifth grade teacher by the name of Ruth Carlson. Some of you know Ruth from Pillager. Some of you probably had her. She died the other day at 94, what was she, 94 years old. And I was just so blessed by that lady. She taught me some things that I still haven't forgotten. She taught me about geography and the states and the capitals. I still haven't forgotten them. And more than anything else, I spoke with Ruth several times after I was graduated and gone from school. She loved Jesus. She loved Jesus. And it showed in her compassion to children. Teachers in schools are a wonderful thing. And we take some things for granted, don't we? Where else? Was there another hand up that I missed? Go ahead, Herb. You know, when you start visiting hospitals, and we start looking at our prayer focus, and we start watching the 6 o'clock news, each day is a gift for which to be thankful. A new opportunity to serve Him. I thank God for that every day. A new opportunity to love Him and my wife and children and grandbabies and this, my church family. A new day. New opportunities to be challenged to walk more like Jesus. That's His goal for us according to the Word of God. That we would have radically transformed lives and look like Jesus. That's God's goal for us. That we would be changed and walk, as John said, like Jesus walked. Each new day is a new opportunity to do that. What else? Go ahead. That's so good, Angie. Did you hear what she said? She said, I'm learning to be more thankful for the trials. And in their case, they've taken on 4 extra babies, 4 extra children, and are loving them and are telling them about Jesus. But there's a history here with these babies, and they are challenging, and they create trials. If they didn't know how to create one, they'll know how to create one tomorrow. And Angie is saying, I'm learning to be thankful for these trials. That reminds me of James chapter 1, verse 2, which says, count it all joy, my brethren and sisters, when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. Is it working patience? It's working. All right, you know what? There's a lot of trials in life. Trials aren't all bad. Some of them are there to mold us into the men and women that God needs us to be. They really are. The Bible is full of those kind of examples. Peter and John left the presence of the council rejoicing because they had been flogged. You say, Jim, give me a break. I'm not happy about that. And yet, when we think for a moment, like I was considering 911 for a moment, and all those stories of people that were angry en route until they realized, I didn't make it on time to die. That's what it boiled down to. And so if we break down out here, or we're not feeling well, we can't get here, or whatever the case may be, sometimes this trial may be for our protection. Sometimes this trial may be to mold us into the kind of man or woman that God really desires us to grow into be. Sometimes this trial is so that we have another opportunity to reflect Jesus. Who else? Go ahead. Family is a blessing. You know what? I was looking at some statistics the other day, and there's hundreds of thousands of children waiting to be adopted. Tugs at my heart. Little boys and girls, no mommy and daddy to love them. Yeah, they got some foster parents in some cases, some grandpas and grandmas, waiting for someone to love them. That's hundreds of thousands in America. There's a whole lot more than that around the world. Family is such a blessing. And somebody mentioned it already, maybe it was in the earlier service. You know what? If you live in Iraq or Iran or Indonesia or Vietnam or some of these places, you become a Christian, guess what? It's your family that takes your life then. All you got to do is read Voice of the Martyrs when they send out their publications on a monthly basis and see. We are blessed in America to be able to worship the living God. And our family isn't killing us because we know Jesus. Kripa can tell you stories. She come from Nepal where in years past it was a tough place to be for a Christian. Those places exist all over the globe today. Do we thank the Heavenly Father that we can worship Him freely in America regularly? We should, because He can't do it regularly around the world in some places. Oh, we've so much to be thankful for. Anybody else? Go ahead, Kripa. Amen. And a precious little bundle of daughter she is. Well, you know what, folks? We could, I really think if we took some time, we could write volumes of things that we're thankful for. And like I said last week, it could be the very ordinary, like a glass of water, or the very unique. We all have things to be thankful for. And I just want to mention a couple, then I'm going to close with some verses from Luke 17. I told you this before, I'm very, very thankful for people in the church who allow Jesus to really mold you to the person, man or woman, He needs you to be. I'm really thankful for you. I'm really thankful to you when you say yes to the Master. In simply loving your neighbor as yourself, or maybe it's teaching Awanas or whatever it may be. Maybe it's teaching a Bible study, or maybe you're part of the women's group who just put together a whole bunch of meals for the less fortunate. I'm so thankful for a body of believers that comes together to glorify God. I'm so thankful for that. We've mentioned a lot of things. One of the things I heard somebody say this last week, and it applies to Jim too. I'm thankful that I'm not where I could have been. Very, very thankful. You ever think about that? Had you not met Christ when you did? Had God not, Charlie referred to it, saving his life. Had God not diverted you left or right when you wanted to go left? Have you ever thought about that? I am very thankful that I'm not where I could have been had I not said yes to the Lord Jesus. Or had I not listened to Him when He said, Jim, I need you to go this way this time. I'm very thankful for that. He gives us free will. And to follow Him, to choose Him, it takes our free will. To follow Him, it takes a daily commitment, denying ourselves, taking up our cross to follow Him. Oh, I'm thankful I'm not where I could have been. I'm real thankful for that. I'm thankful for another chance to share Christ with people like my neighbors or my friend George, audit leader, who's now gone to eternity. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God puts people on my heart as well as He puts them on your heart to love your neighbor as yourself and tell them about Jesus. Luke 17. Let me read this for us to close. Verses 11 to 19. I think you know the story about the 10 lepers. Let me read it for you briefly. Now it happened as He went to Jerusalem, that's Jesus, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as He entered a certain village, there met Him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know the story of the lepers. They couldn't associate with folks. They couldn't be in town. They couldn't head down to the old Five and Dime or the Walmart to pick up a few groceries. They were outcasts, living on the outer edges of town, away from people. They were unclean. They shouted, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, the Bible said, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was, as they went, as the 10 lepers who were here on the outskirts of town, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest," although he didn't mind touching lepers. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. As they took off en route to see the priest, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. The Bible says, and he was a Samaritan. And friends, I wonder about that today. Is that where we find ourselves? For the gift of salvation, we mentioned it, for the gift of His grace, His love, His mercy, and all the things, dozens and dozens of things that we've talked about these last 2 weeks, do we find ourselves like this one, falling at the feet of Jesus and saying, "Thank you"? Because that's where we should find ourselves. That's precisely where we should find ourselves on a daily basis. The Bible goes on to say, so Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." And let me challenge us with this morning. Are you like the 9? Are you like the 1? Just with an expectation, "Yeah, go ahead and do it. I deserve it. You should heal me up. You should clean me up." Are we like the 1 that finds ourselves on our face before Jesus saying, "Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus"? He's done it all for us, you see, friends. He's done it all. His blood washed away our sin on that cross in Calvary that day. He's done it all. We should find ourselves like the one at the feet of Jesus, crying out to Him on our face saying, "Thank you." Let's pray. Father, we do say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Thank you, Father, for caring about us. In our sinfulness, even, you still loved us. Your grace was still available. Your forgiveness was still there. Your mercy endures forever. Thank you. Thank you for this church family and what you have done in transforming hearts from lost to found. Thank you for what you're doing in helping people to rise up anew with a new passion to love you, to serve you, to love our neighbor as ourself, to walk as Jesus walked. Thank you for what you're going to do. As you continue to work through this, your people, and transform lives in our communities, that people would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, to be born again, to be holy people. Thank you for what you're going to do, oh God. I just pray that this week, as we would go from here, you would help us to be thankful. And may it carry on to the next week and to the next, that we would be a thankful people to you, our Father, and all your goodness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.